Hi, and welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. To my extreme left over there is Brady Gaster, the co-host. And in the middle here, Eric Porter from the ASP.NET team.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming on the show with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, no worries. So we have a couple of news items, I guess, just to kind of scroll through first.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting a new segment this week. Brady, do you want to introduce that a little bit?
Sure can. Before I do, I want to give a little plug here to Eric's application, which I believe you told us was the number one Twitter app in the store.
Yeah.
It's called Rowie, or if I mispronounce it, Rowie.
Yeah, it's Rowie.
It's Rowie.
Yeah.
So I've got that up on the screen right now. If you want to grab a better Twitter app for your Windows phone, this is definitely the one to use. Corey introduced me to it a couple months back, and I've been using it pretty religiously. I have not installed it on my new Windows 8 phone. Sorry. I plan to do that after this interview.
Yeah. And it uses ASP.NET on the back end.
It does?
Yep.
Nice.
Cool.
Awesome. So is there a web API that it talks to?
It's just a handler at the moment. I'm in the middle of converting it to web API.
Gotcha.
Will be.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Good to know. So I wanted to introduce Rowie, so you can get your hands on this, and if you have any feature ideas or suggestions, you can bug Eric.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make sure we let you know how to get in touch with him so you can drive him crazy.
Please do.
Please do. So that being said, as Corey mentioned, we have a new segment of the show that we want to introduce, and to do that, I want to go ahead and pull up the Web Dev Checklist. If you go to webdevchecklist.com, you can find out about this. This is a nice little application written by Mads Christensen and Syed Hashimi, who I believe you've seen on this and Robert Greene's show as well, VS Toolbox. And what these guys have done is they've kind of put together this checklist of different things that you really ought to know if you're a web developer. And right now I've got Fixed Broken Links expanded. I can close that right here. And if you click on the link, there's a couple different resources that you can go to and you can learn about that particular technique. So I can look at the web broken link checker, and there's a URL it's going to pull up in here. If I wanted to talk about usability, I could expand usability here, and I could learn about the compat inspector, which is right here. Or if I want to learn about modernizer, I could click that, and I could learn about it right here. So the idea behind this application is to just kind of give you a list of things that you really ought to know of if you're a web developer, and hopefully you are adhering to in your web development expertise. Now, to explain the Web Dev Checklist and the thinking behind it, if there was thinking behind it, I'd like to introduce you to Mads and Syed, and this will be the first episode of what we're tentatively calling Webcamps TV on Location. And we're going to do this as often as possible, hopefully each week. And what we're going to do is kind of go into the ASP.NET hallway and just interview individuals who work with the ASP.NET team, probably some PHP folks and some Node folks as well. But we're just going to go talk to them in their offices or bug them in their offices, whatever your choice. I'm going to go ahead and talk to Mads and Syed first, because the idea of doing the on-location thing, I'm going to go ahead and give them credit for it. It was their idea. So they're going to be the guinea pigs, and we're going to go meet up with them now.
And now let's go on location.
There's Syed.
Are you filming me, Brady?
Yes. There's Mads.
Hey,
what's going on? So you can see they're hard at work listening to the Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
Well, we're just coming to record you guys, since you had this idea about going, what was your phrase?
Into the bowels of ASP.NET.
Yes. So that's where we are. We're in the bowels of the ASP.NET floor. And I'm here with Mads. And with Syed. And they're going to tell us about the Web Dev Checklist.
So, let me just bring it up and then we'll turn it around. I'm going to show you a new feature which we've recently added. It's called Demo Mode. Don't be confused, it has no real value besides just animating things. But let me show you guys what it's like. Let me just pull it up over here real quick.
Okay, let me go around here to the monitor.
Yeah.
So there's Syed's computer.
That would be it, the one and only. So here's your demo mode, basically. Yep. So basically all it does is just kind of run through the checklist, you know? It just kind of shows you how it works, you know? And then just kind of starts over.
Let me give you a quick rundown. So what is the Web Dev Checklist? Why does it exist as well, right? So basically, we were building websites. And we've done that for many, many years. But we were actually building some websites here during the holidays. And we kept asking each other, so what are all the different like tools that you run on your site to make sure that it works everywhere, that you know, it's performant and follow standards and all these things. There's like a lot of great tools out there. But unless you kind of know them, they can be kind of hard to find. And maybe you don't even know that they exist, so you don't actually search for them, so you'll never actually get to see them. So we decided, yeah, let's make a checklist just for ourselves. But then the more we talked about it, we figured out, hey, other people might actually get a benefit out of this as well.
That's right, no doubt.
Yeah. So and then we decided, yeah, let's build the checklist website for all web developers.
What sort of things did you guys put into the checklist in its current format? Like, we showed it briefly on the show. What kind of things are you concentrating on? Like, what should a web developer know how to do?
Well, everything that's on the checklist, pretty much.
Cool.
Yeah, so we the original checklist that we did do, and I think it's like 2 weeks ago that it, we made it public. We've actually had some pull requests because all this is open source.
Right. That's
it's all
right.
on GitHub,
yeah.
and it actually right away it made Hacker News, and we got a lot of traffic all of a sudden, and so we started getting pull requests for people that had like that knew about other tools as well. So the list that we actually end up with today is a little bit different and is better than it was originally. So it's basically everything that you need to think of before deploying a site or immediately after, perhaps.
Right.
Like performance, accessibility, best practices in SEO, and a lot more stuff. And the fun thing is, or the good thing is, that most of these things actually have like online tools that you can run on your site that gives you like a score and tells you what you need to fix.
Cool.
Then we have like, you know, obviously we've got some serious stuff like, you know, performance and SEO and whatnot, but also we have some fun stuff over there too, like the humans.txt. You know, there's always this, you know, me and Mads are the kind of the primary guys on webdevchecklist.com, but there is a third party who has been helping us significantly, who doesn't really receive a lot of credit, but if people are interested, they could find him in the humans.txt.
Cool. Yep. Humans.txt. I think that was the last checklist item.
That's it. And finally.
Cool. It's good to know. So do you have any other checklists in store that you might want to implement for this code?
Yes.
Yeah.
So originally we had the one checklist that this is for all developers no matter what technology they're using. And so what we did was say, hey, let's make one specifically for ASP.NET. So basically we took the checklist that we do have and then all the links and all the solutions that we kind of link to from there on how to fix up your site is very ASP.NET oriented and specific. So that makes it even easier for ASP.NET developers to kind of go through the checklist. And we did a subcategory under there, which is performance.
Cool.
Performance is very difficult and there's so many things that it kind of deserved its own checklist. So for people who are really into that sort of stuff, that's a really great resource.
And cool. Those are basically when we kind of started, you know, kind of like 2 or 3 weeks ago, like what Mads was saying, we just had support for web dev checklist by itself. And then we found interest in specific technologies like ASP.NET. So then we built the support for sections under web dev checklist. And then actually, we're actually going to be working on a Azure checklist as well, which will kind of, it won't be sitting under web dev checklist, so it'll be kind of its own top level site. So then we've actually kind of went through and built in support for sites as well. So we now have a framework that can support webdevchecklist.com as well as other websites as well.
Nice.
So we have sites and sections.
Yeah. Nice. So the one that we see a lot of interest for right now is a Windows Azure checklist. And so we got the domains, we got everything set up for that, and today we actually got our first pull request. This is a site that's not really public yet. Actually it is, but we haven't really told anyone about it. So we got our first pull request, and now there's actually really valuable information to find in there.
Nice.
So, and this is all community. So
nice.
It's perfect.
Nice.
And you know, we are looking for community contributions. You know, especially in areas that Mads and I are not subject matter experts. You know, for Mads, that's a great variety of different fields. But, you know, if you're a PHP expert or a Rails expert and, you know, would like to try to contribute to our checklist, just click on the fork me on GitHub and send us a pull request, and then we'll go from there. So we really are kind of hoping and relying that the community will kind of take this to the next level, because, you know, Matt is not going to be able to take us there.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you might want to tell them what is the technology, ASP.NET technology we've used? And
oh, yeah, that's right. Sure. So here's, so Matt's kind of mentioned, hey, we created websites during our break, right? So for instance, mine, I'm working on an upcoming version of my MS Build book. So I created msbuildbook.com. Matt's created vswebessential.com. And, you know, we're actually using website project here because, you know, we love the simplicity of website project, love the ease of use. And now we've got a beautiful publishing experience for website project in the Azure SDK. So that's what we're using. And you know, we invite you to try out website project as well.
Cool.
So it's website project and it's Razor files. So not a lot of people know this. A Razor file is standalone. You don't need MVC to use Razor. So we're using website project. We don't have a bin folder. There's not a single DLL referenced at all. It's all just one CSS HTML files with a few partials,
right.
And it's just running. It's the same thing like back in the day, you would do this with web forms and a few user controls. We just use a Razor file.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, thanks a lot for talking to us today about Web Dev Checklist. We pulled it up on the show and showing everybody what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have anything else you're working on, like official projects per se, like? I don't know, web publishing, any goodness
right.
coming there?
Yeah, we don't just do things for fun, too. You know, we actually have work, too, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
In my case, I got a lot of different things going on. One of the big things that I'm working on is actually open sourcing XDT, which is our web config transform magic. So I've got XDT released on NuGet with a redistributable license, and now I'm working with LCA to kind of open source it. And then we'll NuGet will actually take a dependency on it.
Nice.
So that's one thing. I'm working on. We're trying to make the extensibility story for web publishing easier and better. Those are kind of. I have some other areas. You want me to keep going or?
Sure.
Okay, sure. So I'm also working on. We're going to be trying to build a better experience for provisioning Azure websites. In the publish dialog. So let's say if you're an Azure Websites customer, it'll be really simple for you to take a website, publish it to either an existing website in Azure or a new Azure website spot.
And what about you? What kind of stuff do you have coming up? Some more Web Essentials goodness? Or
more Web Essentials? Yeah. We're rolling in features from Web Essentials into the Web Tools, the official Web Tools. So. In December, the first feature made it from Web Essentials into the official product, and that was PasteJSON as classes.
Cool.
So we're actually finishing that up right now. Actually, I think today is now it's final, done.
Nice.
So it'll be in the when we ship, like in the middle of February, it will be RTM, it will be golden, everything will be good. But we will also be rolling in all the lists and mustache, handlebars, CoffeeScript, all that stuff is going to go in the February release as well.
Awesome.
Yes.
It's exciting.
And then we're working on like the next the next big things. So we're right now working on the HTML editor. We're throwing it out, the old one, and we're building a brand new one.
Nice.
So there's a lot of really interesting things that we need to do, bringing the HTML editor up to speed and making it fully extendable. And we have a lot of fun doing that because we have a lot of settings. So here's an example, right? People might not think about this. So today in the HTML editor, if you go to Tools Options and you go to Text Editor HTML, we have like a lot of options. And so one of the things that I want to do is to get rid of those. And that's a really, really interesting challenge because how can you create like a one-all, be-all HTML formatter, for instance,
mm-hmm.
that has no settings? It is just what you expect. It does the right thing. No matter who you are and what your demands are and your current project, what your needs are and so on. And I think we got it. So we actually just had the big design review meeting here and with all the developers and all that, and we have the first prototype So, yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting.
Nice.
But of course, formatting is just one little aspect out of this whole thing. The HTML editor is the most complex editor in Visual Studio.
Cool.
Because it has to know about CSS and JavaScript and SVG, MathML, has to know about XML namespaces, has to know about HTML or XHTML, those two things, and kind of be consistent across the board. And that is a complex situation to be in.
Yep. Cool. Well, thanks a lot for your time, guys, and thanks a lot for the idea. We're going to be doing more of these. So everybody out there in viewer land, stay tuned. Hopefully we'll get other candidates for this segment of the show, and we won't be back in this office week after week, which would be okay. But
yeah, you're always welcome here.
Cool.
Thanks a lot for that, guys. Nice introduction to the Web Dev Checklist. I hope you guys check this out. Again, it's webdevchecklist.com. And keep tuning into the show, because Corey and I have a bunch of people that we're going to go talk to in their offices and interview just to find out what's going on in the web development world here at Microsoft. So if you have anybody in particular that you want us to go talk to or interview, just let us know. Use the comments board on the show, and we'll get in touch with those people.
They could also reach out to us over Twitter.
And you can do that as well.
Using Rowie, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So you can install Rowie, follow all three of us, and you can ping us with questions, or actually ping the two of us with questions related to the show, ping him with questions related to the Facebook MVC template, which I think you're going to talk about in a moment, mm-hmm. or with Rowie. And the other segment that we want to reintroduce back to you guys is the website's Windows. I want to talk real quick about the website's window, and I'm going to embarrass Corey here. According to Corey, it's not finished yet, but similar in nature to the Web Dev Checklist, Corey has created a site called Windows Azure Websites Cheat Sheet.info. And what Corey's doing is kind of putting in things that you need to know about coding with Windows Azure Websites, and he's going to continue to add to this as time goes on. So you can kind of go back here and take a look. Right now he's talking about the CLI tools, which I think we talked about last week on the show. Yep. You got anything else you're thinking about adding in next?
So basically, just to give a little bit of a background on the project, it's hosted on GitHub using Jekyll. So feel free, if you have any cool tricks or tips that you find out when using Windows Azure Websites, to go and contribute them back. But some of the things I'm looking to add is like a little bit more guidance around using app settings and how to get connection strings and whatnot through the app settings or through environment variables and whatnot. So there's lots of little neat tips and tricks. I'm also going to do a little bit more of a deep dive on Project Kudu.
Cool. Project Kudu sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
Good deployment customization support in there.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, without further ado, now that we've told you about a couple of different checklists and cheat sheet sites that are out there, and introduce you again to Maz and Syed in their probably messy little office, we're going to go ahead and continue on with the show with Eric now. And Eric's going to tell us all about the Facebook template for ASP.NET MVC and how you can use that to build your own Facebook applications. Before we do that, we're going to do some changing around real quick and get his monitor up on the screen. Be right back.
And now, our feature presentation.
All right, so take it away, Eric.
Okay, so we sort of took a look at people building Facebook apps. Today, currently, the Facebook developer website shows how to build some sites out with PHP and with Python and a few others with some sample apps. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people actually do build their apps today with MVC as well. We actually know of a few companies that build lots and lots of Facebook apps with MVC and Facebook today. But we wanted to sort of make it so that anybody could jump in pretty easily and just sort of learn sort of the base knowledge of how Facebook apps work and just get going immediately. Mm-hmm. So we sort of built, there is the C# Facebook SDK already, mm-hmm. And that's really good. And that sort of helps you call the Graph API and some other things like that. But we wanted to sort of build sort of a small app framework on top of that, and then as well as a template in MVC to make it easier to build Facebook apps. So I'll just go ahead and jump right in real quick and show you how to do it real fast, because it's pretty easy. So here in the latest update I forget the exact name, but I think it's the Web Tools and ASP.NET update that two?
Mm-hmm. Service Pack 2.
Yeah, exactly. So once you have that installed, you'll just say new NBC4 application. And then under here is a new option called Facebook application.
Cool.
Hit OK. This will set it all up for me.
So does this pull the Facebook C# SDK in as a NuGet package?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Because that's actually maintained by one of the guys on our team, Nathan Totten.
Yep, yep. We worked with Nathan quite a bit on this.
Great. One of the things I noticed on Twitter the other day is Nate's actually looking for some contributors. So if you're out there and you're interested in contributing into an open source project, check out the Facebook C# SDK.
For sure. And our library on top of it is also delivered via NuGet into the template and is also open source.
Oh, cool.
So you can actually work at any point in their SDK, in ours, at any point, and you can help out wherever you can.
Cool.
So when you open it up, there's a link here that will show you a walkthrough on how to do this, and I'll just sort of breeze through some of this yourself, but if you want to actually go through the steps, you can just go to the link here, and I'll close that. So the first thing we have to do is set up a Facebook application. So I've already done that ahead of time. I have this little temp app here called Webcams Demo. All you had to do, again, the instructions will sort of walk you through how to do this, but basically all you have to do is set up a new application, give it a namespace, which is sort of the URL that your app lives at. It's like apps.facebook.com/something.
Cool.
And then you have to take the, go right here, go to the properties for your project and grab the URL that it's going to run at locally. And again, this is for local development. When you're shipping to Azure, you would put your Azure URL. The fun part is that it's behind an iframe when you run your Facebook app, so it really doesn't matter what the domain is or anything. So you can take just a brand new Azure account and start running, and no one's ever going to see like the temp URL or anything like that. So I'll come back over here and paste it in here. This is my Canvas app URL, and hit save. So now the other thing I have to do is take these two, the app ID and app secret, and put them into my web.config. I have this set up for you, and again, the tutorial walks you through this. And I'll need to put the namespace, webcamps demo. And that's it. So now I'm gonna run my application. And now it's actually gonna do queries on the Graph API to show some default data. And you can see here, I've got email, some photos, and friends of mine that came up. It basically just does it for the current user, just to sort of demo and show you how it works. Now, something that I didn't show here is I'm going to go ahead and remove the application. So we're going to start from scratch. So I'll remove it.
So how did this get added to Facebook in the first place? Did you already have it up and running for a sample and added it to the
Facebook app that you create here, right here, this that URL, this is all it takes to set it up. So you just set this up and point to your application, and it will just...
So it will automatically add it to your account at that point. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah, and sort of this is the process I'm going to show you here. So if I haven't ever done it before, it's going to take me to this dialog and say, hey, do you want to install the app?
Okay, cool.
So again, this is all stuff that are in samples on Facebook.com, but we sort of tried to bring it all together to make it super, super easy to start the app. So this will install the app. This happens once, and then after that, if I had any special permissions, which I'll walk through how to set those up, like in this case, my app is asking for my email address and photo access. So here I can say allow. You can actually say cancel, and we have some other things in here that will sort of give the developer of the application sort of an option to say, hey, these are required and I really need these and here's why, and sort of explain it to
them. Gotcha.
So again, these are all things that you can do yourself, but we wanted to make sure that just out of the box it had all these things.
Cool.
So I can go ahead and decide, yeah, I do want to authorize it and allow, and then I'm in the application.
And again, that security thing is just because you're running locally. If it was deployed externally, you would be having that.
Yeah, and each browser handles it a little differently,
okay,
too.
Cool.
I think Chrome lets it in, but shows you a warning, and IE just says you must push a button to show it. So,
okay.
Yep. So the code itself, when I'm building the template. So permissions, I'll just show real briefly, you can put just this Facebook authorized. So it's kind of like the MVC authorized
right.
attribute,
mm-hmm.
except this is a custom one, and you just pass in the permissions that you want.
Gotcha.
These permissions, we do have it linked off of that tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
We show the developer page on Facebook that lists sort of all the permissions that are available.
Okay.
So all you have to do is go in here, put a little string in, and it will ask for it. So if I the basic guidance around building Facebook apps is you should ask for the minimum amount of permissions whenever possible.
Yep.
So start off with, you know, almost nothing, and then as I go through my application, as needed, ask the user for those permissions. So the way we did that is that you can add these anywhere. So I can add it to the controller.
Okay.
I can add it to the action. So the controller can actually have sort of a base set of permissions that these requests need, and then each action can maybe add another additional one.
Gotcha.
And then we aggregate them all together and show them the right dialogue
cool.
at the right time.
Cool. Makes sense.
Yeah, so this is all, there's a bunch of stuff that this is doing, but it's nice to just add an attribute and be done. Now when I'm actually doing queries like in my action here, all we have to do is pass in this special Facebook context. This
okay.
is part of our library that we built on top of the C# Facebook SDK. And this thing gives you access to things like the current access token, the C# Facebook SDK client to actually do graph queries yourself,
mm-hmm.
Configuration. This is like keeping track of the app ID and app secret and all
cool.
that sort of
mm-hmm.
thing. And then also the signed request. This is something you just have to learn as you build Facebook apps, that the iframe that your app lives in is posted to from Facebook every time. So there's no
Good.
Gets. It
mm-hmm.
just, they post it and they add this signed request, which is basically an encrypted token to that has like your user ID and access token and things like that, so
cool.
that, you, that your app can securely talk with Facebook and know that it's not being spoofed. Or
nice.
Anything like
yeah.
that.
Nice.
And then the current user. So you can see here, like in the case of the homepage, all it's saying is, call get current user.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's passing in this type called my app user, and so let's take a look at that real quick. This is pretty cool. You can just set up for the things you want to get from the Graph API. You can just set up a class and put properties on it, and we'll use JSON.NET just like Web API does
mm-hmm.
to serialize and deserialize that object for you. And by default, it will just go with name. So there happens to be an email field that's coming back from Facebook.
Okay.
And it's also used for the permission too. So it will go out and say, I need these permissions for this field, and then bind it on the way back
cool.
in.
Cool.
And then you can also see there's some other things, like if I want to rename it, like this one I wanted to be called profile picture, but it actually comes back as picture from Facebook. So you can add the usual JSON property from JSON.NET. So if you know JSON.NET already, there's
mm-hmm.
there's no difference. It mm-hmm. works exactly the same. And then we also have these field modifiers, which basically allow you to tack on things to the query, the Graph
okay.
API query. So in this case, for pictures, you can say type, parentheses, and then the size that you want.
Cool.
So this one, by adding this, it will make it so you can get large images. And there's some other queries that you can get from the docs that
nice.
We have. And then one other thing is these Facebook connections. So there's things like pictures and friends and likes and things like that. Those are called connections
mm-hmm.
in Facebook. You can basically just say, I want a connection of type Facebook picture. And again, just like I created this class, and there's nothing to inherit from or anything, I just say, you know, Facebook picture, and there happens to be a URL property on it.
Nice.
So that means I want the actual URL to their profile picture.
Nice. Cool.
And it will bind it and do all the magic for you, and you don't have to do any of that yourself.
Awesome.
So in this case, it's got the current user and these subqueries of like my current friends and photos and stuff like that. If you want to separate them out, we support that too. So you can say like friends, wait. It's worth mentioning this is all async throughout.
Okay.
throughout.
Cool.
So it's kind of cool if you decide to store some of this data using like the EF6 preview
mm-hmm.
that's async as well, you can sort of be like async all the way through.
Nice.
So this will be really fast, really performant, won't hold up the thread. Good stuff.
Nice.
So here I can say, we basically out of the box, you can see we have some queries ourselves. These are basically just extension methods that sort of tack on a few query items based off of the what you want for the Graph API.
Nice.
You can build these your own. You can replace ours too.
Okay.
So they're just extension methods. So you can remove the using where these live.
Gotcha.
So I can say user friends async and use my class for friends. And now I have the friends.
Nice.
And that's all there's to it.
Awesome. Cool.
So again, people can build their own and continue on, and it works exactly the same. There's also a real-time model in here as well. So we include another controller. And again, this is just sort of taking care of all the plumbing for you so you don't have to. So Facebook has this real-time API that will send changes. There's different types of changes.
So things like if you were to check in using Facebook locations, that would get piped back through here.
Yep, or I add a photo, or I change my name, or do anything, basically, to users. I can show you the list, but there's users' permissions and a few other types of things you can listen for. So if they change the permissions for your app, you can also get real-time updates pushed to you for that. Facebook basically queues them up in like 5 seconds to a minute or so, and then they sort of just send them all to you in this batch. We have set up a web API controller for you already that will do sort of the handshaking between Facebook to get that set up, and then it will be notified when there are changes.
Awesome.
So there's this change notification set, and this just has, you know, what type of object it was, like for users, and then a list of entries that show for what user, what time, and then what the field was.
Awesome.
And then you can go out and go, oh, they changed their age or their birthday or something, and then I can go and query what I want for that to update.
Nice. Cool.
Anything I'm storing. Yeah. It's a long list of stuff, so I'm trying to make sure I get it all. There's a few interesting things. I probably won't show it here, but that signed request that I talked about earlier, you kind of have to make sure that you have that in every request. So if I'm doing like post, so I'm accepting data from the user, I actually have to make sure that that signed request is in there as well. So there's we have a little helper that's HTML.FacebookSignRequest that you have to put in your forms. Super minor, but you have to make sure that that's there. The other thing is that this is all very unit testable. So in this controller here, all I have to do is pass in my own, you know, stubbed out Facebook context.
Cool.
And I'll be good to go. You can replace any piece you want along the way, like just the configuration or the Facebook C# Facebook SDK client itself. You can replace whatever you want to do your own unit testing. We made sure that this fits well with unit testing.
That was actually one of the questions that I asked Nathan during my interview here at Microsoft. He asked me if I'd ever done any Facebook application development, and I said, yeah, I was kind of working on one just to learn my way around it, and he asked me which SDK I was using, and I was like, C# SDK, and he goes, oh, I wrote that. It's like, oh, well, I'm having a problem unit testing it. Can we talk about that? So Nathan has some guidance on how I can mock stuff out and do some unit testing. So
yeah, we worked with him quite a bit. We actually helped them figure out a few issues that would help us, and they actually made some changes to the SDK based off of our feedback, and they did the same, actually. So they helped out and said, hey, you should probably do it something like this to set it up. So we worked with them quite a bit to make this really good. And then I thought also I would show sort of an app. Our developer... Our developer that sort of built the SDK part and the template itself built this app called Birthday Manager. And it basically goes through and skims all your friends. We'll see if I get in trouble for any of this. Oh, there you go. Ex-Microsoft and Microsoft, so that's good. so these two guys, I can see when their birthday is, and I can click on them, and it will go out and grab their likes, and then compare that, I think, against like a Google Store or something like that, but to actually find products that you can buy based off of their likes. So you can see, oh, he's into expression, apparently, so you can buy him a book. And then there's a button, and it'll take you through the process to actually buy it. And it tells you what it's based off of. This application only took him a day and a half to build. So yeah, I mean, granted, he built the library, so he knew it, but that's what we're going for, is making it so that if, you know, I'm some company and I'm wanting to have a Facebook app, and I already do ASP.NET, so I'm comfortable with that, then I can just take this, say, file a new Facebook project, and build an app in just a few days.
So. That's awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic.
So one of the things that I'm kind of looking at here is it comes with a nice default template. Is there any kind of gallery for bringing in different templates? Like, would you be able to grab something off a NuGet that gives you a nice new
Yeah, not yet. So there's the Visual Studio Online gallery where we will probably, we're working on a couple samples. One is a simple game, and the other is basically the same template that they have for the other platforms called Run With Friends. So we're building our own version of that. It has storage in it, because this out of the box doesn't store anything. Yeah. So like getting permissions, getting friends, getting stuff like that isn't actually stored. But we have a model where you can just implement an interface and build that yourself. So we're going to have samples that that show off some of the things you can do with it. We don't have that shipped yet. It probably won't be shipped right at RTW, but it will be, you know, in the coming months.
Cool.
And that'll just go on the VS Online gallery, and that's probably what we recommend for where people put them. We might say that you should tag it with Facebook and stuff like that.
Cool.
But,
yeah. Cool. And we interviewed Jacques last week. One of the things he talked about was how you can actually customize the templates now. Maybe you could look at the existing Facebook template, think of the stuff that you want to add in, and then add your own stuff in that you want to pull over.
Definitely.
And then put that up on, what was it, the extension site as a V6 that other people could download and use.
Yes.
So if you wanted to take the default Facebook template further and then put that out, you'd probably do that, right?
Yeah, for sure. And okay. You can just install it via V6 and it'll show up in the MVC dialog. That's actually a theme that you'll find over the coming years, that we're headed towards making sure that other people can get their stuff in,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that sort of our stuff is all together and easy to install other people's stuff inside a file new project. So
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Sounds good. And the last thing I want to point out is that you can get all of this with the ASP.NET and WebTools download. It's a free download. If you go to ASP.NET /vnext, it's right there in big letters right at the beginning of the page, ASP.NET and WebTools 2012.2. So you can actually download that. It's still out there. I assume it'll be renamed to 2013 at some point or something along those lines.
Well, this is an update for Visual Studio 2012.
So no.
Yes.
It'll just be a release that you can download.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. Well, thanks for showing that to us.
Yeah.
It's exciting. This is one of the things that we're going to be talking about in the webcams, which Corey and I mentioned last week. One of the talks in the webcams is actually specifically on building social apps with ASP.NET, and we're going to focus on this template extensively. So if you want to learn about that, come out to the webcams. We're doing them all over the world. I'll be in India next week giving two, and then after that, I think somebody's going to Germany and Russia, so we have a bunch of them out there.
I think Nick and Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So Nick and Nate will be in Germany and Russia doing it.
Yeah.
You're not going?
No, I...
That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
and if you want to know about the webcams, you can just go to devcamps.ms and click on the web area, so you can learn more about that. Do you have anything else to add this week?
Well, I was just kind of thinking, you know, what are some of the future things that you're looking to add in over there?
So in the future, we're looking at... Facebook has a way to do mobile web applications as well. So we don't support mobile at the moment, so we're going to look into that. We're also looking into making the template a single page application as well. So you'll notice I'm still doing like postbacks and things like that. We do actually set up the client SDK for you, so it's ready to go,
mm-hmm.
But we don't actually do anything with it at the moment. So in the future, we may make this so that you can build applications that are single page, you know, lots of Ajax, stuff like that. And then, the samples for data storage and other things like that we talked about, and then it'll be based off of feedback. So we really, again, we're open source, so we really want to hear what people are doing with it or what it can't do that they need it to, things like that, and then we'll sort of push it forward as needed.
Yeah. So that means everyone out there is on the hook to help it.
A bit.
Yes,
cool.
Indeed. Please suggest changes.
Yes.
Yeah, because
sure. Or, you know, commit some code
or
yourself.
Write them. Yes.
Write them.
We do take pull requests.
True. Awesome. I'm actually installing the ASP.NET and WebTools 2012.2 right now. Just re-imaged this computer. So
awesome.
It had a fan problem. It sounded like a plane taking off. So now that that's been fixed, I've repaved it and need to install all the goodness. So
nice.
Hopefully I'll be up and running here in just a minute. I'll build my own Facebook app to send Corey a birthday present.
Totally.
Every day of the week.
I don't have Facebook though, so there is that.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Why are you on the show today?
I don't know. It's just no.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for joining us, Eric.
Yeah,
it was great
cool
to see the hard work that you've been putting together on this. And thank you very much for Roe. It's been the best Twitter client that I've used so far. So.
Glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks all of you for joining us here on WebCamps TV. Hopefully we'll see you next time.
Take care.